Your favorite PGA and LPGA legends, pros and top instructors are right here every week on Next on the Tee. Join Chris as the greats of the game share their stories, insights and playing lessons. Now, back to Chris and more of the show.
All right, now back with me on the French Lick Resort guest line is Matthew Lawrence. You know Matthew from his many great movies and TV and radio shows that he's been a part of over the years. If you're like me and you're a big fan of the 80s movie Eddie and the Cruisers, you remember him as the bass player Sal Amato. He's been in so many other great TV and TV shows and movies like Beverly Hills 90210, Streets of Fire, St. Elmo's Fire, Saturday Night Live, Matlock 30-something, Taxi, and a whole lot more. More recently, he's been a sideline analyst for first Duke basketball and now Kentucky basketball. He also hosts his own golf show on ESPN Radio, WLXG Sports Radio AM 1300 up in Lexington, Kentucky, called Backspin Golf, which I highly encourage you to go take a listen to. Join me every Sunday morning at 8:03. It's my 8:03 tea time every Sunday morning. It's going on hiatus for some reason for the next couple of months, which I'm not happy about. He also does a drive time show every weekday called Matthew and Mikey that I also tune into. And like I've said several times, if I'm not his biggest fan, I've got to be in the top five. Hey, Matthew, thanks for coming back on the show, my friend.
Every time I talk to you, I realize how tired I am from all the stuff I did. I'm an old guy, and I feel pretty good most of the time until I talk to you, and you start saying what I've done, and I'm exhausted. I'm just tired.
Hi, Chris. A very well-earned right, my friend. But I got to know, now that you're ruining my weekends by going on hiatus, what am I supposed to do at 8:03 on Sunday mornings now?
I don't know. Let me look around. I'll come up with something for you to listen to. Listen, you do this show. You do your NFL show, which is fantastic. You know how tiring doing a radio broadcast is. And I'm telling you, see, I can't do this. I can't do this with a straight face. here's what happens. Every year, this is my fourth season of doing Backspin Golf. And we come back in January and we go all the way through till this past Sunday. And then we take a couple of months off because basketball is starting, and I do the UK Kentucky basketball pre and post game shows, and I'm doing a soccer show once a week about the English Premier League now, which I absolutely love. And it's just good to take a couple months off and kind of recharge a little bit. And plus, they got all these silly events going on now, even though it counts towards the FedEx Cup, which that could be a whole show you and I could do about, now. Let's show everybody where everybody is in the FedEx Cup standings. Excuse me. You got like 8 months till it matters, okay? I don't need to know. So every year I just like to take a little bit of time off and kind of recharge a little bit. That's why. But I'll find something for you to listen to. I promise.
I appreciate you.
Well,
thank you, by the way, for the shout-outs that you've given me on the show. It means a great deal to me. The hello yesterday made me feel like Mrs. Calabash. And, hello, Chris Mascaro, wherever you are. I appreciate you doing
it. Well, I got to say this, and you've gotten to know my brother Mitch pretty well through our shows kind of together, and his show and your show. And he put it beautifully the other day, I thought, on Twitter about how supportive you are of so many of us, and it's very much appreciated. I mean, I know that when I'm doing my golf show, that at 8:03 on Sunday morning, you're going to be listening, means a great deal to me. And so I just I want to thank you for all the support that you give to me in so many ways. That's very much appreciated, too.
Well, I'm glad to do it. Thank you, too. So, Matthew, you and I have never talked about this, but like Sylvester Stallone said in Rocky Balboa, life ain't all sunshine and rainbows. And there was a time in your life when you had enough of Hollywood, and you left to start to go down a completely different path, right, in sports radio. What was it about Hollywood or the movie industry that finally made you say, you know what, enough, I'm out of here?
It's a great question, and I'll get to it in a second. But before I forget, because as I say, I am old, and I do tend to forget things, I want to say how great just listening to Mark Wiebe was, even just for the few minutes that I was able to catch, and I'll certainly listen to the rest of his interview. What a fantastic guy, and they were great questions, too. I mean, we don't often think of, all we see is guys with net jets and, you know, private planes and all this stuff. You don't really get to hear from a guy that played on the tour for a long time that, you know, you miss a flight, you miss a cut, you miss a flight, you're sleeping in the terminal, you miss your family. We don't think about that stuff enough. And It was great. It was great to hear. I can't wait to listen to the rest of the interview. Anyway.
Okay. I appreciate that.
I had been in Los Angeles for almost 20 years, and the first 17 were great. Even though there were times, you know, the thing about that business, Chris, is unless you hit the mother lode, which is either getting into a movie that is going to go on to 8 different, you know, movies after that, unless you get on a show like Seinfeld or Married with Children, which my friend Ed O'Neill did, and then you're kind of set for life, because not only do you make a lot of money during that time, but you get things offered to you. It's a totally different life. And even though I had a great career and accomplished so much more than most people that go into the business ever get to do, I never got to the point where I was that. There were years where I had made a lot of money, where I was on Duet for 3 years on Fox and had a job, and it was great. I had some great years. But there were also times where you can get a job, and even though people know you, you may not work for 3 months or 6 months. And I had those years, too. And by the 17, 18 years of being in L.A., I had gotten to the point, this is really what happened, point where living in L.A., everything is about the business there. And so you would see somebody and you would say, hi, how are you doing? And they'd say, I'm okay, how are you? And I would say, I'm great. They'd say, really? What are you working on? Everything is tied to the business. There's nothing about living out there that's not a constant reminder of what you're doing. And it got to the point where it really started to wear on me. And then as I started to get older, all these shows were there for everybody was getting younger. And not just actors, but people that run the business, agents, casting directors, all of those people. And the day that I decided to leave L.A., I got a call from my agent, and I had been working for close to 20 years, and you know how much stuff I had done. And my agent said, I want you to know what's going on out there. I just submitted you for a pilot for NBC. He said, a sitcom. And now, I had done a year on Saturday Night Live. I had my own sitcom on Fox for 3 years. I had guest starred on almost every big sitcom in L.A. And this agent said, the casting director, when I submitted you for the pilot, said to me, you know, I really think he's great, but can he do comedy? And I was so stunned by that I really started to think, I don't want to go through this. I don't want to, 15 years from now, still be going, wait a minute, what about all the stuff I did? And once that thought came into my head, because to tell you the truth, I felt satisfied in terms of everything that I had accomplished as an actor. And luckily, because of golf, and I think we've talked about this before, playing in all the celebrity golf tournaments I did, I happened to play in the Duke Children's Classic, and probably 10 years before I had these thoughts, I got friendly with Coach K at the Duke Children's Classic, and I was having dinner with him at the Jimmy V to golf tournament. I told him I was unhappy and I really didn't want to be in L.A. anymore, and he basically said, after a couple discussions, why don't you come here? I have something I want you to do. And I didn't have a family. I wasn't married. I didn't have kids at that time. And I just said, I'm done. And I packed all my stuff up. I drove cross country with my mom and went to Durham, North Carolina, and for 10 years sat behind the bench doing radio for the Duke Radio Network. That's really how all that happened.
So do you still get approached at all about roles in TV shows or movies?
No, I don't, because I've been out of the business now. The last thing I did was in 1999, right after I moved to North Carolina, I did the final episode of Beverly Hills 90210. I went back out there, which was my son got married on the show, and that's really the last thing that I've done. And you know, people say that to me all the time, you know, and I miss the work. I miss the creativity of being on a set and being with the crew guys. The crew guys were always my guys. I miss the camaraderie of being on a set and working on something and just the creativity of acting. But I don't miss the business at all. And there's no doubt that I could work again, but I have a about-to-be 14-year-old, about-to-be 11-year-old, and a wonderful wife. And in order for me to get back into the business, I would either have to go to New York or L.A. and get reestablished, because there are many, many people out there that are no longer in the business that were there when, you know, I keep forgetting it's 18 years ago now. That's pretty shocking to me, but I think if situations were different, I might, you know, try to do that, but there's no way now. I mean, there's no way I would do that now. My family is too important to me.
So, Matthew, I read an article that said a few years ago you made an appearance at Comic-Con up in New Jersey. What was that like?
Yes. It was actually really incredible. I had heard about all these Comic-Con things, and I had never been asked to do one, and I got asked. I actually did two of them, and the first one I did was with Michael Paré from Eddie and the Cruisers, you know, played Eddie and the Cruisers, mm-hmm. And he has a huge following. He did a couple of sci-fi movies, and so we went, and there was the number of people and the costumes, and it was just jaw-dropping for me sitting there. I had a wonderful time. I met some great people that I didn't know who were there also. And the other one was much more of a they brought me to the second one because I got really close to the guy who was putting them on, but I really shouldn't have been there because it really was much more about science fiction movies and comics and all of those things. So I had a good time, but that was pretty much it for me. But the first one was really good. But they are, I mean, the lives, people devote their lives to this stuff. And we had one here in Lexington not too long ago at Rupp Arena, which is across the street from my office. And just for 3 days, there were, you know, all kinds of creatures walking down the sidewalk, and I mean, it was pretty staggering, actually.
And I read that, you know, in the same article about the New Jersey one, it was the first time in 25 years that you had seen Michael, and it actually went on to say that he had been approached about doing an Eddie and the Cruisers 3. Is that still a whisper in the wind, perhaps?
No, it's not. I don't think that would ever happen. I mean, a couple of people, here's the thing about Eddie lives. We had, after the, you know, when Eddie was released, it was here and gone in the theaters. And when 6 months later, HBO really started. And as soon as the movie was started on HBO, it became this huge cult film and the music exploded. And so we had kind of a built-in audience for the second movie. But it did not turn out. I think if the second one had been better, then maybe there would have been a shot at doing even a third one where, you know, me and Michael are two really old guys sitting on a porch somewhere and reminiscing or something. But the second one, my stuff with Michael, I thought was great because we had such a history together. But I couldn't, I hated the second movie, to be honest with you. I hated it. And, you know, I think that kind of killed really any chance of a third one happening.
Well, I had always hoped that you guys would do another one. Sort of like Stallone needed to do another Rocky, needed to do Rocky Balboa because you couldn't go out on Rocky V. I was sort of hoping you guys could do an Eddie and the Cruisers 3 and not go out on 2. So
yeah,
when I read that.
It's a great thought. I wish we could do that because I think it would be really great if it could just be me and Michael somehow. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah.
But it's as I've said to you before when we've talked about this, the thought that we were in Jersey shooting this movie so long ago now, Lord, it's like 30, I don't even remember. I think it came out in 83, I want to say, that people still come up to me all the time and talk to me about it. And that's amazing to me. And it's wonderful because it's, you know, it became a part of a lot of people's lives. And that's a very fulfilling feeling.
So, Matthew, maybe we should talk a little golf on this show. And
okay.
All right. I want to kind of get you
now. Wait. Do you know why this is so great that I'm talking to you today about golf? Do you know
why? No,
why?
No.
Tiger is coming back. Today, of all days, as soon as this news broke today, I thought, I can't believe I'm going to be talking to Chris tonight. This is like the greatest news to me. I'm the biggest Tiger fan
really?
In the world. Oh, absolutely. And I'm not talking about all the off the course stuff. That's a whole different discussion. I'm talking about as a golfer. And I don't care what anybody says. It's been years now since he was relevant, although he did win 5 tournaments, what, like 3 years ago or 4 years ago? I mean, we forget that. But his influence on the game, and I hate the phrase, like, move the needle, but it's the truth. Twitter went berserk today. The other day, he put another video up about him hitting a stinger, that great stinger shot he hit, and Twitter lost its mind. I mean, today it was announced that he is going to play in his tournament in the Hero on November 30th, and everybody's going berserk, including me. Oh, can you hear me? I put you on speakerphone. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah,
okay.
I can still hear you.
I want to do this, if I could, just for a minute. There's a guy, I think I've mentioned to you, about Justin Ray, his name is. He is the Golf Channel golf statistician, and he's the best in the world at what he does. You can follow him at Justin Ray, R-A-Y. And the stats he puts up all the time are fan how he does this. But today, when the announcement that Tiger was coming back, Justin put, let's celebrate Tiger Woods announcing his return with some insane Tiger statistics. And I want to read a couple of these for you. Is that okay? Can I
do
that? Okay.
Sure.
Tiger was a combined 126 under par in majors from 1997 to 2008. That is 189 shots better than any other player in that span with 40-plus rounds played. 189 shots better than anybody else.
Wow.
Tiger is the only player in the last 50 years to win five or more straight PGA Tour starts. He's done it three different times. Now, these are the kinds of... Tiger Woods has 63 more wins. He's got 79. Than missed cuts as a pro on the PGA Tour. 63 more wins than missed cuts, and seven of his missed cuts have come since 2014. Tiger Woods with 79 and Dustin Johnson with 16 are the only players currently under age 45 to win 14-plus times on the PGA Tour. Dustin Johnson has 16 victories. Tiger has 79 and 14 majors. I mean, I could go on and on because Justin's stats are so ridiculous, but a lot of us have lost sight of who we're talking about here. And I think for all of us, my greatest wish is that when he comes back to play, and I don't want him to be Joe Namath playing for the LA Rams, or I don't want him to be that guy. I want him to be competitive. I would love to see him win a tournament. I want him to be competitive. That's all. And if he can't, then I hope he stops playing and just designs golf courses and plays with his kids. But apparently, I don't know if you heard this, Chris, but he's been playing the last couple weeks, and some pretty big names have seen him play and played with him, and they all say he's phenomenal. He's in unbelievable shape and health and hitting the ball perfectly. And now he's going to be in a tournament, you know, it'll be a little different than a regular PGA event, but it'll be competition and we'll see what happens. But I'm going on here. I'm really excited he's coming back.
I think the golfing world, right, is at this point, you know, wanting to see what he can do, right? We've heard a number of comebacks, right? It seems like every other month he's coming back, and then finally, you know, had to shut it down, you know, for the majority of the last year. So I think we'll see, you know, how healthy is he really, right? We saw this last year, right? He came back and finished what 17th out of 19 or what have you, and then a couple more attempts, and then that was it. It'll be interesting to see what does he have and how he can, you know, how hard can he go at it, and what does his swing look like, and, you know, can he sustain it over time? So, it'll be interesting to see, for sure.
I agree, and I'm giving him one more shot. If he comes back and, again, injures himself or whatever, I think that'll be it for him. And, you know, but I'm excited he's going to play again, whatever happens.
Yeah, it'll be, to your point, it is, you know, the crowds, you know, the things on social media, everything, he definitely moves the needle. So he's great for the game. If for nothing else, he is great for the game and the attention that comes with it.
Right.
Matthew, just a couple of more before we let you go. And your home city now, Lexington, recently got a new PGA Tour event. The 2018 Barbasol Championship is going to be played up there not far from downtown Lexington. How's the city reacting to the news?
Well, I can tell you, it's July, I believe, the 22nd to the 26th. It's the Barbasol has been played in Alabama these last, I'm not sure for how long, but it's had great feels. It's the same week as the Open Championship, as the British Open. Last year at the Barbasol, Davis Love, Retief Goosen, Angel Cabrera, we had, I think, nine guys that had won a major played in that tournament. And they're hoping for a great field again. And all of us that are involved in golf here are so excited They had the big press conference last week, I guess, and I was there, and it's phenomenal. I mean, we don't really realize what happens when a PGA Tour event comes to your town. 1,500 volunteers, between 80 and 100,000 people they're expecting. The amount of how it affects your economy for that week and the week leading up to it, everything about it. I can't wait. I'm going to be doing shows from the golf tournament. I'm going to be helping with different publicity things. I told them I would do anything they wanted. We just had a meeting with the head of, it's being put on by the Bluegrass Sports Commission and a company called BD Global, which is a wonderful guy from here in Lexington. It's his company. And I told them, I'll do anything you want as long as you let me announce the players on the first tee.
Wow.
they think I'm kidding, but I'm not. I'm telling you, because I figure I can put some kind of glasses and something and speak with like an Irish accent or I can turn it into an acting exercise, you know. But it's all kidding aside, it is going to be fantastic, and this is not a one-time deal. I think it's a 4-year contract, and they're hoping for longer than that. The golf course they're playing it at is called Champions, and there are two golf courses under the Keene Trace umbrella, Keene Run and Champions, and it's a beautiful golf course, but the PGA Tour is already coming in, and they are going to do stuff to this golf course that will last years, the improvements they're going to make, because there's going to be a tournament there. The whole thing is just kind of a little overwhelming right now, but it is going to be amazing. I mean, really amazing. And I think what we should do, Chris, is the week of the tournament, I think you should come to Lexington, and I think you should do Next on the Tee from there, and I can do backspin golf, and we can make a whole thing out of it. What do you
think?
There
you go. I like the way you think.
Yeah, all right. We'll do it.
We'll make that happen.
Okay.
All right, Matthew, one more before we let you go. But, you know, I want you to be able to plug one of the other courses you've got up there, because I know your home course is called Kearney Hill. Talk about that course.
Well, we have 5 public courses that are Lexington Parks and Rec, and they're all great public courses. But we have a Pete Dye golf course called Kearney Hill that is, my Mitch came here and played it. He had never played it before. It's a links-style course. I've played golf on public courses all over the country, and it's absolutely in the top 5 of any public golf course you can play. It's an amazing golf course, and it's kind of my home course. Justin Mullinex is the guy that is the head pro out there and runs it, and there have been a couple of very big events out there at Kearney Hill, but thank you for letting me talk about it. And, of course, French Lick. I mean, French Lick has been a sponsor of mine on Backspin Golf for the last 4 years, and Brendan Sweeney and Dave Harner and all the people involved with French Lick. I mean, I'll do the commercial for you. You talk about a resort. You talk about a resort. They have one of the most incredible golf courses anywhere in the world, the Pete Dye course at French Lick, anywhere.
Have you played it?
And then they have, many times. It is.
Yeah?
I'm telling
How'd you,
Chris,
do? It ate my lunch.
Oh, no, I shot 68 there, to be honest.
Did you? Good for you.
Yeah, I only played 8 holes. But, you see.
I was going to ask you what you shot on the back nine.
Yeah, this is the thing. Nobody ever asked. This is the truth, isn't it? Nobody ever asks you how many holes you played. They always say, how'd you do? Say, I shot 71. Really? But you don't tell them you left after 13 holes. They never ask you, did you play all 18 holes? So that's the way I approach things now. No, the Pete Dye course is absolutely one of the toughest golf courses you can play.
Yes.
Pete Dye is a sadistic son of a you-know-what. I mean, he's just But it's also one of the most beautiful golf courses.
And yes.
And then they have a 100-year-old Donald Ross course there. And
right.
two of the most amazing hotels and a 51,000-square-foot casino. So, like, you know, pretty great restaurants. I mean, it's not a bad place to go, Frederick. It's fantastic. It really is.
Yes, it is.
So,
Matthew, before we let you go, let our listeners know, how can they stay up to date with all the things that you're going to be doing over social media, online, and then you got to give me something. Don't forget, you got to give me something now that you've ruined my Sunday morning. So you got to take that as homework.
All right. Okay, Chris, you know I love you, but that's a little too much pressure to be putting on me, okay? Ruining your Sunday mornings, all right? Come on, man. people can follow me on Twitter at ML. On WLXG, and they can listen live to Backspin Golf or to my show in the afternoon if you go to WLXG.com and just hit listen live. Those are the two best ways to get me.
Yeah, and you've got a great app. That's how I listen to you on my drive. Become my drive time listen on the way home. So I stop listening to anything in Atlanta. I listen to you. So plug in the app and away I go.
You know how, seriously, all kidding aside, you know how much that means to me. It means a great deal. And I put on Twitter the other day, just as I say goodbye, thanking people for, you know, being on this journey. And I know you feel the same way about your show. But, you know, some of the greatest blessings in my life have come from all the friends and people I've met with Backspin Golf. All over the world, really. And you are right up there, you know, at the top of the list. I can't tell you how much your friendship means to me. So thanks for having me back on, and I promise I'll look around and find something for you to listen to on Sunday morning. God bless. Lord have mercy.
Well, Matthew, I can't thank you enough for your time and your friendship, my friend. It's been one of the great blessings of 2017. So thank you for all that you've meant to both this show and on the football side. We got to get you back on the football side and see what your thoughts are on what's going on around the NFL. But
yeah,
thank you for your time tonight.
As long as you don't ask me about the Giants, I'll do your football show. That's fine. I'll do it.
Indeed.
All right,
my friend. Take care. Have a great rest of your night. I'll catch up with you soon.
Okay, Chris. Thanks.
Thanks, Matthew. That's the great Matthew Lawrence. And again, you can find him on Twitter at ML on WLXG and Backspin Golf and his drive time show are all fantastic. And as you can tell from the interaction tonight and the time we spent together, he's absolutely one of my favorite people anywhere on the planet.